Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, UK Bills Mafia. This is Christian Wade of your Buffalo Bills. This is the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast with your hosts, Matt and Alex. Let's go, Buffalo! Woo!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Red, White, and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with a UK twist. It's week 15. It is getting closer, and it's not, unfortunately, 1995, the last time we won the AFC East, but it's actually 2020 when we're next going to win the AFC East. Matt here, Alex here. Alex, you getting that tingling for sensation right about now?
Yes, but not because of football. I just watched the season finale of The Mandalorian, and oh my God. If anybody wants to do a Star Wars podcast with me, please let me know because I'm amped up and ready to talk about it. Honestly, I'm going to go ahead out on a limb and say you don't watch it.
I've never been a big Star Wars or Star Trek fan, to be honest.
That's great. Okay. I quit this podcast permanently. So you just handle it yourself, you dork.
you love doing this podcast with me.
I do, but I also love Star Trek and Star Wars. I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody who watches it, but if you do watch it, congratulations. You're going to enjoy yourself. It was great. And I just watched the series finale of The Crown the other night, watching that with my wife. That was so friggin' tragic, man. I mean, just... I don't know how close that is to real life, but I mean,
some of it's not.
I know it's not. I know it's really exaggerated, but I mean, I'm not going to consider myself an anarchist, but I mean, why do you people need a monarchy? I don't get it.
the breaking to the palace, that was actually real.
Yes, that was crazy.
But obviously, what they actually discussed was obviously was all make believe, creative licensing.
Yeah,
which
my point is the way the family dynamic, like the crown comes above everything else. Like there's no humanity in that phrase, and the way the show depicts how these people treat each other is just awful. Like the life that Diana had was just awful. It's heartbreaking. I know that it's exaggerated, so I'm not gonna, you know, if I ever see what's his face out in public, I'm not gonna, you know, curse at him.
What's his face?
You know, the one, the husband, what was that married Diana? What was his name? See, I already forgot.
Charles.
Yeah, Charles. That's how
our future king.
Yeah, is that gonna happen? The queen will never die. You know this. She's probably 90% cyborg by now.
I don't doubt it.
Okay, that's enough of that. We've already lost half of our listeners. let's talk about football.
Yes. So before we go into the preview, I'm just going to quickly run down. Most of you probably want to know, is there any way the Bills can get at least the number 2 seed? I mean, to get number 1,
you're number 1 seed? Miami would have needed to have beat Kansas City last week, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I think and also we wouldn't have got it cuz we wouldn't have the head to head with Kansas City.
Right, so we can't tie them.
We lost to them. So they would have had to lose last week and all the rest of the other 3 games, but there is a chance that we can get the second seed. If we win out, go 13-3, all we need is Pittsburgh to lose one of their games against the Browns, the Colts, or the Bengals. And because Buffalo beaten Pittsburgh last week, they have got the head-to-head tiebreaker. So if Pittsburgh lose one game, we win out, we're number 2 seeds. Mm-hmm. If the Bills go 2-1 in the final stretch, ending up with 12-4, they will be 9-3 in the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers would need to lose twice to the Browns, Colts, or Bengals. And behind
Buffalo. Well, they could lose Buffalo. To the Colts and Browns.
They could. They yeah. could. I mean, and then also, if, but then if Cleveland Browns win out, they will be 12-4, but they'll only be 8-4 in the conference in the AFC. So we still have the head-to-head over there. And obviously they'll be behind the Steelers because of the AFC North games. And then Tennessee, they're another team that if we go 2-1, they win out, they can go 12-4. They actually hold the tiebreaker over us.
Yeah.
And well, it says they hold the tiebreaker over the Bills in a three-way with Tennessee, with Pittsburgh and Buffalo. So in a three-way, if we've got Pittsburgh and Tennessee and ourselves at 12-4, we actually take the top spot.
How important is the number two seed to you?
For me, it is. I mean, you're not going to be facing, I can't remember how it goes. You should be, it's obviously going to be two against number seven, three against six, and then what is it? It's,
well, what it does, it guarantees a second home playoff game.
And that could make a difference. I mean, obviously, if it's a case of...
In 2020, does a home game really matter?
No, not you know? Necessarily.
I mean, necessarily. I want it to be a home game. I do. I want the number two seed. I mean, the better you are, the better I'll feel, yeah. You know? Who then doesn't the number two seed? It's just...
You're looking at it.
I'm still in the mood of happy to be here.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's a case, you may... This may happen. The Chiefs may get knocked out in one of the first two rounds. Then you're automatically, if you get through to the AFC, you're hosting the championship game.
Right.
Again, in 2020 with no fans, well, especially not in Buffalo, there, does it really mean anything? But I think for players actually having to go to Buffalo where in January, February, it is going to be like blizzards and snow and all that, it's going to make it a lot more difficult for them.
Well, and
traveling to them.
And for Allen, though, I mean, we've seen him play much better in nice weather compared to in conditions.
Mm.
So, I mean, is there any way that Terry Pegula can build a dome over the stadium in 2 weeks, in 4 weeks?
Is that possibly. Possible? It's possible.
Yeah.
But going back to it, it's Pittsburgh and Buffalo would advance past Tennessee in there. So because of the AFC record, the Bills would then obviously beat the Steelers in the head-to-head.
Right.
And it would go the same if the Colts and Titans won out and finish tied for the AFC crown. Tennessee wins the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting one is if the Bills go 1-2. So 11-5, they'll be 8-4 in the AFC. Pittsburgh would have to lose three times. So they'd have to lose all their games.
That's not going to happen.
Cleveland would have to lose one of their next two games against the, or one of the other two games against the Giants, or one of the two games against the Giants or the Jets to go to 11-5. Pittsburgh would still hold the AFC North. So we'll still have that tiebreaker over Pittsburgh, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee and Indianapolis would each have to lose one game. With a win for the Titans over the Packers would boost their strength of victory, and actually and break any other or invalidate any other tiebreaker. But if the Titans lose to the Lions and beat the Packers and the Texans, they win on the strength of victory.
Right. So I don't think the Titans are going to beat you said the Titans play the Packers. That's going to be an interesting game because the Packers can be run on.
Yeah. But there is a way to go 13-3 with one loss to Pittsburgh, one loss for Pittsburgh, and that number two seed will pretty much be ours. And let's dive right into to game one of that route to number two.
Well, just to continue on that theme, though, like,
okay,
I don't know where you're at in terms of, like, you know, how comfortable you are where the Bills are the 20 years of pain that we've all experienced, like I said, it has me just being happy to be here. I mean, we have 10 wins right now, and my instinct is to just be happy with that. You know, not to chase down the number two seed. I'm like, oh my God, we're gonna make the playoffs. Normally that's good enough for me, you know? I mean, look at how bad it's been. I'm just happy that we're going to make the playoffs again. But now we have a chance this week for the division. And that's like, you know what? I literally can't, okay, not literally, but I really can't ask for anything more out of this season than playoffs and division. We set the bar there at the beginning of the season. And with how we've looked over the last few weeks, you know, that Seattle game, the Pittsburgh game, San Francisco's defense, it looks like we could make a run. And I'm just not comfortable being that confident yet.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm normally better equipped to handle these logical decisions, knowing that this Bills team is not the Bills teams of the past. But at the same time, it's so hard to eliminate those emotions and those memories of all of the losing and the disappointment. So
that's true.
Yes, I'm going to say I believe that we can get the number two seed, but I'm always prepared for the worst. And if we end up, you know, the four seed, I'm still going to be happy.
Yeah.
Would you still be happy if we're the four seed?
I'll still
would you consider that a disappointment?
I'll consider it a little bit of a disappointment. The fact that since week seven, since week seven, we're 6-1.
I mean, I really don't want that Cardinals game to come back and hurt us, you know?
Yeah, because that's the only thing I would be disappointed is if we actually ended up going knowing that in that second half of that season, we've actually been one of the, and obviously that record 6-1 since week seven, second best in the AFC behind the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I don't want us going into the fourth seed knowing what the hell have we done to actually go fourth. I mean, yes, it's a home playoff game. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a home playoff game. Mm-hmm. But when you're making that strides where you're getting to almost like touching distance of second and in a good position as the third place team, to then drop to fourth, it can be a bit of a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, it's just such uncharted territory to be able to say if the Bills end up 11-5 or 10-6, it's going to be a disappointment. That's crazy. I would literally give my left leg. Sorry, Matt. No leg jokes. I would give a kidney to have, you know, 10 wins every season, you know, but now
it's
like, you know, hey, win the division, get the one or the two seed. That's the expectation. Holy shit. This is such uncharted territory. And I dare I say, Bills Mafia, get comfortable where you are. This should be the expectation and the reality every season going forward.
So let's get on to it.
Considering that the Broncos shouldn't be considered pushovers. I think a lot of people might overlook this game, but they played the toughest schedule in the AFC. I mean, you're looking at games against Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Tampa Bay, the Chiefs twice, Miami, New Orleans, and us. I mean, this is a team trying to take the next step. And they haven't had it easy. You know, based off of our performance the last few weeks, obviously this is going to be a W in my book because of Drew Lock. I mean, they put all of their chips in the Drew Lock basket this season, and he's been bad. Last week he was great, but the team still only won by 3. They did recently play KC close. So it's really going to be about which Drew Lock we see. On the season, they've only scored 20 or more points six times, bar the Saints game, because they literally didn't have a quarterback. So, you know, how are you feeling about the Broncos?
Well, I mean, this in a way could be a trap game. I mean, yes, they're what, 20?
Sorry, when you say trap game, are you not trusting our coaching staff to get the team ready?
Oh, no, no, I trust them. I trust them. I think they'll get ready. But as we know, with most games this season, you never know what's going to happen till you actually to get out there. So the coaches can prep them, have them all coached up, ready to go on there. But there just takes one minor thing to happen, like Josh Allen breaking his arm, touching wood.
Don't even say that. How dare you?
Don't worry. I've touched wood. I've licked wood. I've rubbed wood. I'm just saying that is that something like that could just derail it, because then you're gonna have to put Barkley in. And to be honest, I don't think he is.
Don't even talk about stuff like this. What are you, nuts? Don't even create that scenario in your head. When bad thoughts manifest, they come true. Stop it. I'm taking over.
I'm positive all the way through. I'm still
positive. You're positive, but you're saying crazy things like Barkley's gonna play. Like I didn't say
he's going to play.
I don't even want to hear the possibility of that.
I'm just putting it. Okay, I'm looking. I'm an alternative universe right now. But
clearly,
drugs
are talking. How much morphine have you had?
Well, I'm pretty close to the end of the bottle.
Uh-oh.
So quite a bit. So it's a 100-mil bottle. So we can put it down to that. But you know what I'm saying? It could take one incident as such to actually change the whole game. I mean,
to change the whole season in that scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it'd take one decision in this game from the referees to actually to turn it back.
Looking at what the Broncos are capable of, I think they're going to need a lot of help from the refs if that's going to be the theme of the game. I mean, you're looking at a team that ranks 29th in points scored, 25th in total yards, 27th in passing, 13th in rushing. You know, this is a quarterback league, and Drew Lock is not good enough to beat our defense. He's only hitting
him for quite some time, though, haven't they? They've had to have one game when they had what's his name, Kendall Hinton,
right? In the Saints game, yeah,
and a couple other games where they haven't had Drew Lock for the full games.
Yeah,
I think he's only done what.
But even when he plays, he's hitting 57% of his throws. Now, how many teams are in the NFL?
32.
He's 35th in the league in completion percentage. He has the highest interception percentage in the league. He leads the league in bad throw percentage. And with their halfway decent running game, they don't call a lot of play action. So this game is pretty straightforward. You have a defense that's surging. We have the third most takeaways in the league against a quarterback who faces 24% pressure on dropbacks and is inaccurate. So we're looking at blitzing him, getting him to make mistakes, and then taking advantage.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that Drew Lock is going to have to play out of his mind to beat us this week.
Well, to be honest, this is one thing that I want to get your opinion on. I was actually just going through a few other scouting reports, Broncos scouting reports on the Bills by Denver sports writer. He actually weighs up like the pros and cons and who has the edge on each specific scenario.
Okay.
He goes here, when the Broncos pass, after missing majority of Sunday's game due to an illness, tight end Noah Fant is expected to be back in the lineup. Meanwhile, can KJ Hamler follow up his first multi-score game against a Buffalo secondary that ranks 19th with 243 passing yards allowed? He said the edge for that is even. He says no one has the edge when the Broncos pass.
That's nuts. That's crazy. That's him completely ignoring all of the stats that I just gave. Drew Lock is a bad quarterback. He had a hot week last week, but we look at Carolina's defense. They don't match up to us. Mm. So you know the phrase any given Sunday. Absolutely 100%. You know, the Jets almost won a game, so anybody can almost win a game.
Yeah.
I'm just exactly. Not to the point where I'm worried. Any other Bills coaching staff between Levy and McDermott, I wouldn't trust any other Bills coaching staff to not try and blow this game. There's no way McDermott allows us to blow this game. Even with the added pressure of being able to win the division, we've seen this team win big games in the past. In this game this week is a big game for our franchise. There's no way. You heard Allen say he doesn't want to let anybody down. This is not a game that we will lose.
No, exactly. Exactly. I mean,
and especially for crazy people who think that Denver's passing offense versus our passing defense is a push. There's a zero. There's no way that's a push.
Yeah. I know. Tell me about it.
Watch a Bills game, guy. Look at how good our pass defense has been the last, last bit. Last week, shut down, Ben. Pisses me off when these people don't pay attention to the games.
But apart from that, when he actually does it, though, he actually goes, he has who has the edge when the Bills run? He thinks it's even.
I would say even.
I agree with that. Obviously, the Bills have the edge when the Bills pass. That's that's a no-brainer there. The third rated passing offense. When the Broncos run the ball, he's given the edge to the Bills.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, oddly, our run defense hasn't been that bad. I mean, over the last 2 weeks, our run defense has been really good. I mean, we let Nick Mullins throw for 300 yards on us. So I would probably say, if anything, no, because even then, like, I just don't. From everything that I've seen from Denver, nothing leads me to believe that they have an edge anywhere. They have a halfway decent running game. That's how they should try and attack us. If they let Drew Lock drop back 40 times and let him take that pressure, because last week Ben gets the ball out in like 2.2 seconds. Drew Lock is third in the league in time spent in the pocket. So honestly, he stands back there. We get good a pass rush. He makes an inaccurate throw. Well, under pressure, he's going to be even more inaccurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, that's what I just said is the game script. You pressure an inaccurate quarterback and then it's over. Because if what we can do with our offense is get a lead early, which forces them to pass, which makes them make mistakes. But honestly, looking at their defense, they're the eighth worst team against the run. I think gearing up for a playoff run, let's experiment with the run game. We know. Let me just finish the thought. We know that this offense and this coaching staff can make adjustments at halftime. We saw perfect halftime adjustments last week. If the experiment in the run game doesn't work in the first half, then yes, go to the pass. But I want to see us going into the playoffs with a balanced attack. It just makes things harder for a defensive coordinator to scheme against us.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see a balanced game, but for this game at least, I wanted just to air it out, because I've got a championship final place on the line with Allen and Diggs in my team against a
Matthew,
team.
Matthew, what's more important?
The first year in your fantasy league.
How about the first division title in 11 billion years?
Yes, I know. Of course. But no, it's the only thing that's going to keep Denver in this is probably going to be their defensive front. They're like seventh in the league with 36 sacks this year. They still have their Bradley Chubb. He's got 7.5 sacks. Malik Reed, defensive tackle, we've got 6.5. DeMarcus Walker, 4.5 sacks, have all been really effective this season. But then their issue now is going to be their wideouts. They've got their fourth round rookie and a fourth year pro actually as their main two cornerbacks on there. So for this game at least, you would actually you would think it'd be a Seattle type game. You just throw the ball. Yeah, I understand at the point where Denver may actually change up on there, but it's the best way to do that. And then at that point, when they're thinking, oh, all they're going to do is pass on us, so they're going to prepare for a passing attack, then hit them with the ground game. I mean, if anything, you want to perfect the running game, you may want to do it in the next two games against the Patriots and Dolphins, who are going to have a bit more stingier run defense than the Broncos.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's an interesting situation. I mean, looking back to the first matchup against Kansas City, where Kansas City won 43-16, Mahomes only had 200 passing yards. You know, I really think that this could be an opportunity to run the ball. I mean, even Kansas City didn't run the ball well in that game, but you know, they made big plays. They had a kickoff return touchdown. They had an interception return touchdown. So I think this could be a game. I mean, let's see Andre Roberts, you know, break off a few. Let's talk short fields. Let's talk running the ball. Let's talk about, you know, there's multiple ways to beat the Broncos, which is pretty great because we can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Of course. There's ways to do it.
I mean, looking at the passing yards allowed that they've had, let's rank this by week. Refresh that. They've had it actually pretty steady over the last few weeks. Come on. Oh, jeez. Stupid ads. They give up 245 against the Panthers. They give up 313 against the Chiefs in their most recent game. 63 against the Saints, but that was Taysom Hill. They had a good stretch here where they played the Dolphins and Raiders, 167, 154 in terms of passing yards. But, yeah, over the last 2 weeks, you know, giving up good yardage to Carolina and Kansas City. Honestly, whatever the Bills do, I think it's going to work this week.
Yeah.
So if I say run the ball, if you say pass the ball, I think both will work. So I'm really not worried about it. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing proves to me that we could lose this game. Not the logistics side, not the statistical side, not the emotional side.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to see to get a bit of confidence in Singletary and Moss in this game to really to get them a bit more juiced up, a bit more confidence going into the last few weeks and then into the playoffs with a bit of momentum. But you play to the strength to start with and then make adjustments. We know, as you say, we know this coaching staff can adjust just like that, especially what we saw on the at halftime. Mm-hmm. So the quicker we can actually set one up and the quicker we can adjust, it may be the complete offensive game and the complete defensive game, maybe even complete special. This game could be the complete game you need to get that more momentum bouncing in. Mm-hmm. That you know you can play everything to go forward.
Yeah. And when you talk about momentum, our team defense momentum is just growing right now. You look at the Broncos, one turnover against Carolina, two against Kansas City, three against New Orleans, two against Miami, five against Las Vegas. They have a turnover every game. Multiple turnovers in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games. Two interceptions this game. That's clearly the nail in the coffin to the Broncos. So, you know, a lot is on the line. You know, we're going towards the 2 seed. We have the division on the line. We have playoff momentum building. Defense momentum is building. We just need to get the run game going. But honestly, if it doesn't, I'm not going to be upset because we know how importantly good, how important a good passing offense is. And honestly, I'm going to go conservative with my score. I thought it was a good score when I wrote it down, but honestly, I could see a lot more. I'm going to go 27-13 Bills.
Okay. Fair enough. I am going to go higher than that. I think the Bills will. Do I go bold?
It sounds like you've put no thought into this and you're just winging it right now.
But then again, I didn't play thought in the last couple of them and I've gone pretty much spot on.
Yeah. Yeah, you've been good.
I'm kind of thinking 37-10 Bills.
Oh, that would be fun.
We've got close games.
I want a game where we just blow it out.
I think we've got too much on, regardless of where Denver are in the ratings, red zone. You said they're up really close. They've got one of the best red zone defenses. We got one of the best red zone quarterbacks in Josh Allen, who had no interceptions. I thought that 142 red zone trips.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got that offense to take on that depleted secondary of the Broncos, and I can't see their offense really doing anything. Judy hasn't shown up, which I'm shocked at for a guy who was actually really talked after.
Yeah.
Noah Fant's going to come off an injury. He's always been hit and miss. Hamler's just come into a bit of form, but then Melvin Gordon, he's got a shoulder injury. There's so many question marks on that Broncos offense that I can't see it making many points, and I can just see us waltzing away with it and actually having a very good way to celebrate the AFC East.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay. So have you got anything else to add before we continue?
No, I'm good. Let's go.
Awesome. So then
I'm making carnitas tonight, so I'm actually pretty excited about that. But
now carnitas.
What?
What is it?
Oh yeah, you guys don't really get Mexican food over here.
We do get Mexican food. I just usually have fajitas or burritos. Maybe enchiladas. So,
carnitas is a traditional Mexican pork taco. It's the I don't want to say it's like the first, because that could have been like cochinita pibil, but yeah, I love my Mexican food traditional. So it's just slow roasted pork butt in lard with some orange juice, cumin, and Coca-Cola, actually. So it's nice. Really good. Shred that up, corn tortilla, just lettuce, and just diced onion and lime juice. Very simple, because the way it cooks, it just cooks in its own fat and its own juices, so you don't need a sauce. So, yeah, it's my favorite. So we got that.
Nice. And if anyone wants the recipe, just send us a message. I'm sure Alex will send you the recipe for that.
Absolutely.
So all we'll say is thank you for your continued support and following at UK_Bills on Twitter, at RWBB_podcast on Twitter for the podcast Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook and YouTube. And all's left to say is from Alex, this is Matt. Thank you for listening, subscribing, following, and go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh?
That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.